What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 10th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy Monday, everybody. Bailey Ober. Are you done with Bailey Ober? 4.2 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Against the Pirates, no, I am not done with him. I feel like he was just kind of singled out. And his overall command was pretty good. Sometimes it just doesn't go their way, and it didn't really in this one. I am not really hesitant on Bailey Ober. Guess the Athletics next. I know it's been a little bit weird lately. Really, just stick with Bailey Ober. Okay, cool. Andre Pallante, you know, it's kind of funny. At the beginning of the week, I was thinking, man, Sunday starts. Who are the ones that I would actually consider as a streamer? I have the spot on my bench right now. I'll just get them now. And I saw Andre Pallante against Rocky Rodos. Thought, let's just see how he goes against the Astros first. I don't feel like people are going to be rushing to get that one. And he was terrible against the Astros, so I sat that one out. But he got the win against Rocky Road. 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. 11 out, 20 strikes on the curve. The curve did show up to some degree. That's a 55% strike rate, I should say. But yeah, I don't really want to do this against the Cubs. I'm fine. Bowden Francis against the Athletics. Just 4 innings as he went 49 pitches. And I don't really know if they're going to stretch him out or not. This was the best I've seen Bowden Francis, though. It's just, yeah, we don't know how much you're going to get. It was a Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers up, and it's a good 4 seamer shape for the most part. But yeah, that's that. Zach Kelly opened for the Red Sox, and it was pretty much just a bullpen game. So that's it. George Kirby against the Royals. He has one more game left until the ace is going to ace tag because he gets the Rangers next. Let's see how he does there. But this was much better. I did a video with him and Shota Imanaga that should be out, I think, today. And then there's a Cole Reagans video I did as well that you should probably check out tomorrow. Full start, Cole Reagans. I needed to do one. We have George Kirby doing the things we want to see, which is sinkers, getting more strikes than four-seamers, and four-seamers being saved more to be that O-swing pitch, which is really nice. And then you have sliders looking like they should. He's doing all the right things. He just needs to do it consistently. So George Kirby feel good there. Ace is going to ace for Tarik Skubal because he's just so dang good. Same with Cole Reagans. Funny enough, he allowed 3 hits in this game. One of them was a home run to start the game to J.B. Crawford. And then he went 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 9 Ks after that. So it was 1 run, 3 hits overall. And then his second hit was, get this, J.B. Crawford. A single on first pitch cutter away, and then he had a bad fastball in the sixth because Reagans's command does get a lot worse after about 85 pitches, 90 pitches. He misses arm side too often as his arm usually lags behind. But yeah, came through here. A lot of the good stuff that we like, especially with the slider and his cutter. It was good stuff. Trevor Rogers against the Guardians. I'm glad it worked out, but he had a sub 50% strike rate combined on the slider and changeup, so no thank you. Scott McGow opened for Tommy Henry, but it was like 50 pitches of that. Underneath that, as Zach Allen needed more time, so we move on. Nathan Eovaldi's looking great against the Giants. He went 90 pitches this time, 7 innings, 2 runs. Everything's cool. He gets the Mariners next. Love it. Mitch Spence against the Jays came through 7 innings of 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. This is like the old school Rasmussen and Ashcraft at lower velocity. This is just a ton of cutters and sliders, and I'm glad it worked. And he's not as wild as Ashcraft is. But yeah, I don't love it. It's not that great. And think of him as someone who could go 6 innings randomly, but good luck trying to figure out when. Shota Imanaga, 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He had a bit of a careful Icarus as he allowed one of those runs in the 7th inning. And it was on a sweeper, which is kind of funny. He threw more sweepers, but he allowed a run. yeah, he's still dope. It makes us feel dope, and it's pretty cool. Tymon Walker survived in London. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He had 28% called strikes across everything, which is bonkers. If you think about, like, swing strike rate and called strike rate, sure, when you make it to 30%, it's usually a little bit more called strikes, but that's like 19%, not 28%. Jeez, that's not going to last. Grayson Rodriguez against the Rays got the win, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. 4-seamer command upstairs has been great, and that's really cool. I want to see the changeup and the slider down more. He needs that. That's the last element for him to really, really excel. He gets the fills next, and that's really his last test. So you have like Gilbert and Kirby and Grayson Rodriguez all having their final exams. against tough matchups next time out. I'm excited for all of that. Jared Jones, should he get his aces against ace tag removed? No, he had a tough first inning, and honestly, they include a quote-unquote passed ball that was a foul ball, and they didn't, oh, it was so weird. They allowed a run to score because the runners moved up, which is wild. It was a bad first inning, and then he settled down, and he was good. 200 runs, 9 base runners, 3 Ks. I understand. You're like, what's going on? 14 whiffs, though. He's still good. Chris Flexen against the Red Sox, 5 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. You love to see that, and I don't think it's going to stick. I mean, the four-seamer has more IVB than you'd expect, and he did locate his cutter well. But Chris Flexen at the beach is not a constant thing. He's usually just flexing in the mirror, and I would not go for this one against the Diamondbacks unless I was in a very deep league. Carlos Carrasco against the Marlins, 4.2 innings and 55 pitches, and I'm shocked that they just didn't let him go further. It wasn't injury or anything like that. They just pulled him. I don't know. I didn't see anything. So whatever. We move on. DJ Hers against Atlanta. This was interesting. It was the opposite Hurston Waldrop, who we'll talk about later. 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. And I just don't love his command. I think he's kind of all over the place. Now, if he does get the Marlins, that could be okay. But, yeah, I'm a little skeptical on it because you still need to execute. And even against a weak team, you have to, like, throw strikes and everything and not put yourself in counts where it's an obvious bad pitch and then you throw the bad pitch and so on. So DJ Hers, on his next start against the Marlins. Zach Littell came through, if you're in a quality start league, 6 innings of 300 runs for a poor quality start, but it's 8 base runners, 3 Ks at a loss. You got nothing for your standard leagues except 3 strikeouts. So now he gets Atlanta. I don't really know if I really want to do that. I know the Atlanta offense isn't as good as they have been, but I wouldn't go after Zach Littell there. Luis Gil against the Dodgers had a proper test here. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Honestly, that's pretty good. And the fact that he decided, you know what, I'm going to nibble a little bit more around the zone and still got only one walk is kind of good. Sure, he was one out away from a Philly and a poor quality start, but essentially one whip with 5 strikeouts. 15 whiffs against the Dodgers, kind of impressive, Luis Gil, and nothing really changes there. If he like rebounds in a great way, and I say rebound, I mean like just dominates in his next start, then we should feel like Gil is aces against ace territory. You have Jose Quintana kind of surviving in London. I mean, it's 3.2 innings of 300 runs, but 2 whiffs and just about 70 pitches. Like, you don't expect anything different from here, and don't go after Jose Quintana. Ty Bloch, yeah, you don't want to do that. Bad against the Cardinals. Justin Verlander had a very disappointing start against the Angels. 5 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. He just did not locate well. There's a lot of YM lock in this. And even against the Angels, like, you have to locate, especially with Verlander, who only relies on Vert and has a very bad attack angle. So the lower that gets, the worse it gets in some ways, because then it evens out, especially middle. You might be able to get called strikes, but if they're swinging, it's going to be really easier, much easier for them to hit. We have other guys to talk about, including Frankie Montas, Tyler Glasnow, and of course, Hurston Waldrop. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. So we saw Frankie Montas in his previous start execute the Blake Snell blueprint better than he ever has, and he hasn't really ever tried to do it, but he did it last time. But then he got trounced, 1.1 innings of 400 runs, so a run per out. And that made Carson Spires get some extra pitching, 90 pitches here, 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. That's pretty cool, but he doesn't quite do enough, and I think that Montas is going to start next time. So he's still in consideration for a quality start league, in a quality start league for a poor offense. I don't really want to go with Montas. Nick Martinez should have the Graham Ashcraft spot in the rotation. So I don't really think that Carson Spires is going to show up again. And I don't really think that he is that special. Tyler Glasnow got the golden goal, 23 whiffs and 41% CSW against the Yankees. He allowed a 3-run shot in the 6th. That is a bit of a careful Icarus there, though. He had some trouble early, settled down, and then, of course, allowed a home run on a fastball right down the middle to Trent Grisham, who's subbing in for Juan Soto. Doesn't matter. The Juan Soto isn't there. Does not matter. But anyway, so it goes. You still got 12 strikeouts from Glasnow, even when he allowed 5 earned runs and had 9 base runners. So, you know, that's how it goes. Patrick Sandoval against the Astros did not do what we wanted him to do. 5.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. This was not the best command I've seen from the Irish Panda. He does get the Giants next. And considering how good Sandoval has been in the majority of his starts, Like, it's been four starts have been bad all year and like four out of 12 or something. So 2-1, I would take that over the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, Keaton Wynn returned from the IL and it wasn't good against the Rangers. I mean, it was still ill. 4.1 innings, 7 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. If you don't know still ill, it means he's still on the IL. It's an IL layover. ILL. But the point of the matter is, coming back from the IL, you generally don't want to start them on the first game back. His splitter did go 10 for 24, so that's pretty cool for Keaton Wynn. And hopefully he can go at least 80 pitches against the Angels. That might be beneficial, so consider that one for your deeper leagues. Don't roster Bryce Wilson. He did poorly against the Tigers here, and yeah, that's not it. And there are two rookies here. Adam Mazur went against the Diamondbacks. Didn't have the worst debut. He did showcase what could be a solid Toby, kind of like a mini Kirby, as they said on the broadcast. I can see it when he gets, you know, settled into the bigs, but he's not. And this was against the Diamondbacks, 3 innings, 8 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. I think it's still there, and there is absolutely a chance it just switches on with the TR turnaround right away against the Mets. But the floor is very bad, clearly, so I'd be very hesitant to do that one. And with Hurston Waldrep, before the season started, I got to see him in spring training. I got to watch a lot of video of him, all this stuff, and was like, oh my gosh, wow, that splitter is amazing, and he throws hard, and has this good slider, and all this stuff. And all the reports from Florida, it's like, oh man, mid to upper 90s on the fastball, legit slider. And what I understood of Waldrep is that he has a really good splitter, but a fastball that's unruly, the splitter that isn't the highest strike rate, but it's above average in strike rate, so that's fine. But that's it, really. The slider isn't that good, and I saw a reliever. That's kind of how I thought Atlanta would treat him. Now, Atlanta has gone through this problem of you have, like, three major starters. You have Ronaldo Lopez, you have Chris Sale, and you have Max Fried. Charlie Morton is just around for whatever reason. Fine. But then with Strider out, they've been going through this carousel of figuring out who else is going to replace, right? And you have Bryce Elder, and that's not good. Darius Vines has been included. We saw Spencer Schwellenbach, and I hope that they still give him a chance, but he hasn't done well so far. You have also AJ Smith-Shawver, who had a moment with it, but yeah, he still needs more polish. So now the latest is Hurston Waldrep, who I thought they kind of would convert into a reliever, but then again, they pushed him to AAA. He had 6 innings, 11 strikeouts in that AAA start, and everyone thought, oh my gosh, this is it. So I haven't been super high on Waldrep, but then watching these first 3 innings, I'm seeing, okay, this is a fastball that is not really grading that well by our tool. It comes in around 94, 95, as opposed to like 97 or something. It has a little bit of dip, I think, as like cut action slightly. And then you have a splitter, which is good. It is a good splitter. I absolutely understand why people like the splitter. It's a legit whiff pitch. But the slider sometimes is good, sometimes isn't. And after getting through 3 innings kind of quickly and not really like overwhelmingly, he essentially just had a really tough fourth. He allowed a 3-run shot, and then he allowed 2 walks and I believe a hit, left with the bases loaded. And then they relieved him and it was a grand slam. So 6 runs there, and they had another one tacked on before the home run. So there you go. That is Hurston Waldrep's MLB debut. This is why we don't start guys in MLB debuts. Oh, but the matchup. Nope. Just don't do it. It's so risky. Now, are the Braves going to let Waldrep start again? I hope so. I don't have the highest hopes, but I do see how it can work. That fastball can look really nice. The splitter off of it, like, he will get strikeouts. I don't know how the command's going to be, though. I don't know how hittable that fastball is going to be, and if he has enough of a supporting cast with that slider. So I'd be very careful and cautious of Hurston Waldrep. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's games because there are no updates, no notes on the rankings I put out yesterday for today's games. So you can go check that out. Same stuff. But tomorrow's starting pitching rankings is Zach Wheeler, Max Fries, Paul Skeens, Brian Wood, and Ronel Blanco on that auto start tier. Probable start tier is Zach Eflin, Yusei Kikuchi, Marcus Stroman, Jesus Luzardo. Mitchell Parker and Tyler McGill are your two main streaming options. I prefer Parker because I just feel that his arsenal is just more complete. It's a better kitchen sink approach, and it's the Tigers. While McGill, it should work against the Marlins, but he also needs to get his four-seamer upstairs. Like, he needs to actually do that and then pair it with the slider and the cutter. I don't really trust the splitter to be that much of a help, say, for a couple strikeouts here and there. Questionable starts here. I moved Cutter Crawford and Jordan Hicks down into this one because Cutter Crawford just hasn't been that great, and he gets the Phillies while Jordan Hicks has a good sinker. He just needs a splitter or his sweeper to work, and it's Houston. So those two things combined, you go down to questionable. JP Sears just looked as good as I've seen him ever. But one game exceptions happen all the time, like Frankie Montas, and that was 1.1 innings, right? So this is against the Padres. It could work out well, but I just don't know what we're going to get. Jordan Montgomery against the Angels. That is a clear Toby play. At the same time, Jordan Montgomery has been so bad. So do what you want there. I think you're safe, honestly. Albert Suarez gets Atlanta. Atlanta isn't as strong as it used to be. But, yeah, he's going opposite Freed. Like, that's probably not a win. Tristan McKenzie has had curveball whiffs somehow. Well, that's pretty cool. But I don't trust him at all. Nick Martinez is getting another start, which is great. Hopefully he throws at least 30% changeups against the Guardians. Jameson Taillon could not take down the White Sox and makes it a little tougher to go after against the Rays. And Cal Quantrill, well, is the splitter going to be there? I hope so. Hasn't been for two games now. He gets the Twins, which is better than the Dodgers, but like, ugh, I don't want to do that. At least it's not in Coors. And the do not start to you, Brady Singer against the Yankees, and you do not want to start many guys against the Yankees at this point. Randy Vasquez gets the Athletics. You might want to consider that one. I was tempted to put it into the third tier, but honestly, Randy Vasquez just doesn't do enough. Same with Kenta Maeda, who's not his old self, and he gets the Nationals and the floor is too low. Miles Michaelis is so pedestrian, and if you're in a quality start league, it does go into questionable start tier, but for the normal leagues that are just win-based, like, no, don't do it. It's going to be bad ratios and not enough strikeouts, likely. Drew Thorpe is making his MLB debut. He's a change-of-focus guy. We don't have any data from AAA. What I do remember from the spring is that he was throwing 89-90 as opposed to 93-plus, which is a little annoying, but if I am assuming that he's back up to 93 or so. As he goes against the Mariners, again, MLB debuts, you don't want to do it, but I could see how theoretically this could work because changeups are the bane of the Mariners constantly, but then again, it's mostly lefties, lefty changeups to their righty hitters. Still, Thorpe could be a thorn in their side, whatever. I wouldn't go after this, and also it's the White Sox, bad win chance overall, and I'm just not the highest guy in Drew Thorpe. Think of it like he was like the mold of like the Clark Schmidts and whatnot without a good breaking ball. Like, it's just change of focus, really, to me, and I just don't go for that. Caleb Buechele is starting for the, I believe this is the Milwaukee Brewers. No, I'm so sorry, that's Carlos Rodriguez against the Jays. Carlos Rodriguez throws, like, high cutters, as a Campbell McSanchez kind of thing, sometimes with fastballs and sinkers more than cutters, and then you have breaking balls underneath. I don't think there's enough there, unfortunately, for Carlos Rodriguez. I would not really consider that. Sorry. Caleb Buechele, by the way, is for the Twins. He is a like 89-90 mile per hour fastballs, focus on command and called strikes and stuff. Like, no thanks. James Paxton against the Rangers. We were way past that one. The win chance, sure, but I don't want to do that same thing with Dane Dunning against the Dodgers on the other side of that. No thanks. And then Jose Suarez looks like he's starting for the Angels, but he's been mostly in relief. So it's not really anything that I would chase. All right, that is it for today. Of course, I'll be putting out the list today and have the OTC with Eric Smolski tonight. And that is also, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.